one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I wish I could say all that's on my heart, but turn in your Bible, please, to Proverbs chapter 23. Job, Psalms, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his head. Didn't say that at all. This has been the headiest generation that ever lived. And the Bible said before Jesus comes, they'll be what? Heady. Not hardy, but heady. If there's ever been a generation of smart alecks, this is both of them. We got more smart alecks. And the Bible said in the closing days, it's going to be as the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, there were giants. Men of renown. That's smart alecks. That's college graduates. That's people with a PhD, post-hole digger. And we need to dig a post hole deep enough and big enough to throw the whole bunch in. I'm talking about humanistic teaching and preaching, and it's not worth 10 cents. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. No man ever lives above his thoughts. You'll sit on the same limb that your thoughts are on. And if they get on the ground, you'll be on the ground. If your thoughts are in the dirt, you'll live in the dirt. If they're in the flesh, you'll live in the flesh. Oh, may the Lord help me to get this message. I'm preaching on the forgotten art, and that's think. Just think. The average person has never learned to think. They never think. Now, I'm going to give you some wonderful verses, but first of all, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, did you get that? Not so was he, so is he. I tell you what you are tonight. You're exactly what you think. And in a moment, I'm going to answer some questions. Well, it's all a matter of making up your mind. It's all in the mind. It's all in the mind. And I think if a man makes up his mind... You've heard that, haven't you? And I have too. All right. Let's go find another verse. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Now, we're getting a little closer to what's wrong with man right here. Isaiah, chapter 55. It's one of my favorite. Starts off with, hey! That's it. Starts. That's what it means. Ho! You know what that does? Give me attention, please. You walk out in the field, hey! That's exactly what he's saying. You know why he's saying that? He got something to tell him. And brother, I'll tell you what. When he hollers ho, you better ho and woe. And if you don't ho, there'll be a woe falling on you. And so he said, ho! Everyone. That's all of us, isn't it? Wouldn't it be sight if we could get everybody to ho when we start preaching? Yeah. Huh? I mean, if we could get everybody to H-O, then we could get them to H-O-E. Yeah. I mean, they start hoeing the old gospel corn. If we could just get them to hoe, give me your attention. Don't sit out there like a zombie. Give me your mind for a while. I'm going to just refer. You talk about lies. You know, the newspapers, they don't have a sign of a conscience. Not any. Show me a newspaper that's got a lick of respect for God and respect for Jesus Christ or respect for anything decent and right. Now, in this chapter, he said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." That's all of us, isn't it? Everybody's thirsty. You know, one reason you can tell everybody's thirsty, they're drinking so much. And the wrong thing. You know why a man drinks liquor? He's thirsty. You know why a man drinks beer? He's thirsty. And he thinks that's going to quench his thirst. Not at all. Not even at Christmas. Not at New Year. Not any time. One of our men fell. And I took him in the plane to a rather isolated spot. I love him. I really do. I want him to have victory. But I got sick flying him. You say, what's wrong? He just, like we used to say on the phone, he just stunk. I mean, just the filth, the smell. Oh, I wish I could have held my nose all the way, but I couldn't. And pitiful. Just pitiful. I mean, he was the most pitiful looking thing. Really, I tell you, he absolutely, I mean, ordinarily, he's got some life about him and everything, and there he was. Just dead. I mean, just an idiot. And that's the way you boys look when you get drunk. Just idiots. There's no dignity in a drunk. I've never seen a dignified drunk man. Or drunk woman. They're the most pitiful piece of humanity that ever drugged down anybody's street. Every control is broken. I mean, for purity, for chastity, for majesty, for everything. I mean, you become a beast and worse than a beast. Fact is, you've never seen a drunk mule. You've never seen a drunk donkey. You can call him dumb, but he's got more sense to drink liquor. Oh, listen. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. You see people on a dance hall. What was that big inn up yonder, you know, down? That's the swankiest thing you ever saw. You had three or four saloons in it, you know, and they had dances going. You know what? They were thirsty. I mean, just a bunch of clabber heads in there and a bunch of slobber hearts in there. You know, they were thirsty. They were drinking at the muddy streams of pleasure and filth and the flesh. And there they were spending. Can you imagine spending that much money? A motel big enough to have to have and busy enough to have three or four saloons in it and taverns and lounges. That's the reason I never want to lounge around. I mean, it's just got an ugly connotation to it. Oh, listen. He said, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Then verse 2, something's going on wrong. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Oh, listen. Have a healthy soul. And it looks like when he tried to get their attention, they turned away. He looked at them and said, why do y'all spend your money for that which is not bread? No, I wish I could remind people 365 days, not just at Christmas or New Year's. If you don't get anything ever in your life except Jesus, you still got all you need. You got more than the world will ever have. Oh, I tell you, I'd hate to fall in love with anything as cheap and dirty as money. I read the testimony, and I think I'll read it again. I have it right here. It just kind of gripped me. This man right here said, I began stealing when I was 15. He wrote this letter to my boys and the girl. He said, I began stealing when I was 15. Each trip to jail only made me worse. And I met others who also thought that crime pays. I learned to rob banks. You know where he learned to rob banks? In prison. He met the bank robbers in prison. I stole more than most, One bank I robbed in Reno, Nevada for over $1 million. Over a million. But, notice this is a word of wisdom here, but the fruits of evil are not ours to keep. The lawyers get it all. Truly, the wages of sin is death. Day by day, look at it, day by day in a 6 by 7 foot prison cell. Not too much range in room. 6 by 7. I mean, you think, a man, if he was 6 feet tall, that's as much room as he's got in one direction in his prison cell. And some of y'all think it's smart to start breaking and entering and stealing cars and television sets and all the junk that you get. Now notice what he said. And then, of course, someday there will be the final judgment. I used to spend thousands of dollars a day and honestly receive no satisfaction. I'm old and have spent over 20 years behind bars. Now, here's your plea. Brother Olaf, please save every boy you can from such a living hell. And you know the only way to do it is to bring them to the Lord. I wish I had more money to give you. But we only get a dollar a day. But herein is $20 for your work. Keep up the good work. 20 days of his life with his tremendous salary of $1 a day. Would it be a sight if Christians in the free world would catch such a vision? We'd not be wondering where we were going to get money to build. We'd have it. But the average American, even the Christians, the churches, the preachers, have lost their vision for boys that are following him. And they'll never be stopped. They never will be stopped until we bring them to know the Lord. Well, he said, why do you want to spend your money for that which is not me? Incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear. Your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David, behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Now here we go. Verse 6, chapter 55, book of Isaiah. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For, here's one of the texts, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. And that's it. You know why you don't walk in his way? You don't walk in his mind. Did you know you don't think crooked and live straight? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. They ought to be. Isn't that pitiful when he said, you don't think about what I think about? Your mind is not where my mind is. You know what he's thinking about? Others. Others. What do you think about during this season of the year? What do you think about each day? My thoughts are not your, neither your ways, my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All right. Go to Isaiah 26, please. Isaiah 26, chapter 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now then, would you turn with me back to the book of Psalms, that long, wonderful chapter 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to stop over here at verse 59. I thought, that's unusual. I thought, what'd you do? I thought on my ways and made a 180. You know what makes people get right with the Lord? Just do a little thinking. Have you ever stopped to think that in 50 years from now, all of us will be out in eternity, and a lot of us a lot sooner. Have you ever thought that this thing's coming to a rapid completion, and it'll soon be over? Do you realize that young people, you may not live to be 20 years old. You may not live to be 25 years old. You people that are sitting out there 25 and 30, you may never reach a half a century. I mean, no man knows what another day's going to bring forth. I mean, we live in the midst of death when we live in the midst of life. And the old man said one day, the old must and the young may die. And Jesus surely will come soon. And I tell you what, I have never known as many strange doctrines as are coming out today. And you know, the average preacher, he never really cries out against tobacco. He'll let his church people die with cancer before he'll ever raise his voice, because he's got so many that stink like it.
Yeah, amen.
It's a sin for a preacher not to warn his people about a killer like nicotine.
Amen.
One preacher said to me, pastor in his town, he said, I consider that none of my business. To me, that's stupid. I mean, that's negligent. That's pure carelessness in the pulpit. So he said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste. I got in a hurry. I delayed not to keep thy commandments. When I got to thinking, I want you to know I wheeled around as quick as I'd turn it, made a 180 and took off for the testimonies of the Lord. I took off for the word of God. Just, I mean, I made haste. I put it in overdrive to get into that Bible gear. All right. One more, and then we're going to preach a while. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Now you talk about a verse that's been left out in the average young person's life and everybody else's. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Now notice that. True, honest, just. Number 4, whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Think about them. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. This has really been the generation of mental disorder, confusion. And they've introduced a lot of new terms, you know. They call it brainwashing. They've got a deprogramming. They've got transcendental meditation, which is a big word, which means exactly nothing.
Right.
Now, the Bible tells us to meditate, but he said meditate in the Word of God day and night. It's all right to meditate if you meditate about the right thing. But you need to meditate beside something, nature or sun or coming up or going down. And so, this has been the generation of what they call mind control. That's what the public school system's doing. They're controlling the minds of the people. And yet, people come out here and we seek to control their mind for Jesus. And by their fruits you shall know them. We don't turn out murderers. That's what comes out of your humanistic system.
Amen.
It's all right to control somebody's mind if you control it with the mind of Christ. And we got people that say, well, you know, all you got to do is just make up your mind. I believe there are some mind murderers in the world. And I'm going to mention them again, though you've heard them. I warn you about them. And it makes you a little unusual and people don't understand. But I believe that the news media today is murdering and has murdered the minds of this generation by what they print, by what they put out. They have murdered the minds of the people. You think of a preacher or a Christian that spends more time reading the newspaper than does the Word of God. His mind is controlled by the news media. When you get up in the morning and the first thing you grab, and that's the average man in this country and woman, they want the newspaper first. To me, that's as unchristian as anything. People that get up and turn the television knob first. I mean, just that's what they're interested in. Now, to me, that murders the mind. Gets off to a dirty start in the morning. Let me give you some advice. This will work. This is good for you. Though people will call you a fanatic, so what? Read the Bible first. The first thing you ought to do is wash out your mind with the Word of God when you wake up. You usually go to the lavatory and wash your face. And sometimes said, well, put a little cold water. Wake up. Won't you wake up your mind? Won't you put a little refreshing Word of God in your mind and wash out your mind every morning when you first get up. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He ordereth my steps in the Word, and the good man, his steps are ordered, and he delights in those steps. And so get you some delightful steps ordered. I mean, get your order in from heaven every morning early and say, Lord, what's the orders for today? Where do you want me to walk with these 2 feet today? What do you want me to say today? Let me be careful, little feet, where you take me to. That's right. And so, why wouldn't you just, in the morning, instead of just grabbing your toothbrush, you know, I mean, or grabbing your clothes, or grabbing a newspaper, or turning on, why don't you just start the day? You talk about seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't you think the Bible is first? Amen. Don't you believe that Jesus is first? His Word will be first. I'm just trying to give you something practical. It'll work. If you just wake up in the morning and say, where's my Bible? It ought not to be over an arm's length away. Amen. I mean, you ought, because it ought to be right there where you go to sleep at night. Because you ought to wash your mind out before you go to sleep. That's right. A lot of people take a bath before they go to bed at night. Why wouldn't you take a Bible bath? Why wouldn't you just bathe? Why wouldn't you take a good shower from the eternal Word of God? Why wouldn't you? Now then. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, think on these things. The newspaper, pornography, television, and education are the murderers of the mind today. And whenever you see young people, as they traipse off, and I've gotten more calls on children that have been taken away from them. I mean, they had them in a Christian school, but the mother spanked her girl, and one of the church members reported her for child abuse, and they came and picked up that little girl, and she's 15 years old, and she said to the case worker, I'd like to call those the cuss workers. Amen. They're cussing. And, oh, they play the part of the hero. Yeah. Honey, you don't have to live in a home where they make a streak on your sheet like that. Why, I'll get... She doesn't love you. Why, that's brutal. That's cruel. The little girl said, mm-hmm. It sure is. Now, the judge said, do you want to go back home? And said, no, sir. I don't want to go back home. So she's off in a foster home.
We're happy you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today entitled, Carried Away People. To receive the message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2480. To help us with shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10. We'd also like to have today's date in the call letters to this radio station. To order by credit card, call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. God's Little Biscuit is an intriguing title for the special offer this month. God's Little Biscuit is a message by Brother Roloff illustrating God as he takes weak, humble, and sometimes fearful people, and uses them for wonderful things. Now, Brother Roloff has taken the text from Judges 6 and 7. That's the way he builds the message. We're requesting the CD for $10, and you just simply ask for offer number RO
1395 and include $10 to help with shipping and handling. And if you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you can write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Again, the offer is God's Little Biscuit. The offer number is 1395. Include $10 for shipping and handling. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, as you realize, we're in the summer months now, and that's when the giving usually is really off quite a bit. So we really need your help right now, so I hope that you'll include more than just the CD. The address, again, is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.